The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, busily burying her nose in the latest edition of the Varsity News, the student newspaper of the University of Detroit Mercy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
I'm sorry, my nose is no longer buried.
That's all right. I thought it was kind of like, you know, sort of news houndy. You know, we get a lot of great information from the VN, I think.
Like that we should be able to live on $20,000 a year?
Well, actually, I was talking about the synchronized skaters article, but yeah, sure. You know, professors should
have to do
more. Two
of these are students of mine or former students of mine, too.
There you go. There you go.
Which explains all great things that will ever happen to them.
They are attempting, they are part of a conglomerate or whatever, trying to get synchronized ice skating to be a Olympic sport.
Why not?
Because they've been doing it their whole lives.
Will they be jumping on trampolines at the same time?
No, they will not.
Hey, shout out to Royal Oak, because the gold medalists in ice dancing are from...
That's right. I think pretty much every serious pair team practiced in Ann Arbor. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
But we won the
Arctic gold ice in Canton is where the silver and gold medalists both.
Right. Yep, that's right.
And
that's
ice
right.
dancing is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is.
I think we have a pretty good idea what Professor Dan Maggio thinks of ice skating.
No, I was.
He's buried his nose in the newspaper now.
Excuse me, see, Professor Dan Maggio does curling.
So that is true.
He is a curler.
Really not.
It was a nice final this morning.
It's not the skating. It's
he participates in an Olympic.
It's the gliding.
It's the. Modifications.
Judging. I see.
Or variations of these sports that kind of make me.
Yeah, the freestyle skiing thing, the moguls.
That
skiing
scares me.
Does not.
Ooh, that
scares me to watch.
That is.
And the half pipe
skiing. Nimble. Stay nimble.
What's wrong with the old downhill slalom super G?
Yeah, moguls are. That's a valid sport, I would say.
Moguls?
As much as any other.
That is a knee busting sport.
It sure does look knee busting to me. And even hip busting.
Among other parts.
After the knees go.
I don't know what to say except to ask Professor Alex Hitchell here from College of Liberal Arts and Education what your favorite Winter Olympic sport is. To watch. To play.
Something that
to judge.
Because she's already got a cast on her hand.
I know.
I admire all of the Olympic athletes because I possess none of that skill.
That's
scorekeeping. Scorekeeping.
Totally understand. Perfectly understand. If it took 17 years for Davis and White to get ready to win gold, wow, that's what do they do now? Appear
go
on
back
the box
to school.
Of Wheaties.
You know, Wheaties boxes and call it a day.
Well, paraphrasing John Stewart, she can go back to the island of Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm. She has interesting proportions.
No, and he can join the symphony.
It's
the violin section.
She looks like
the
princess from
high-pitched voice.
She looks like the princess from Aladdin.
That's right, Jasmine. She does.
Jasmine thanks.
Plays beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Dave Chow, any commentary on the two hockey outcomes?
I'm not saying nothing. I might be sleeping in a garage. So,
oh my.
I just got quietly celebrate internally. That's because if it's external, it's gonna get tamped down real quick.
Right. Never has silver felt so shameful. That's all I've got.
Why
to
is
say.
That?
I don't know either.
Because I mean. Yeah, the bronze medals, they're happy as all get out. The silver people just never, ever.
The silver were a little sad-looking, weren't they?
But still, yeah, it's a little
don't get over it.
Second place and fourth place are tough to take.
Tough to stomach.
What have you been watching, Professor Jim Tubbs?
Oh, a little bit of everything. A little bit of everything. Although I do agree that some of it just scares the heck out of me to watch.
Mostly with skis, I assume.
Mostly, yeah, with skis and some with snowboards also. Mm-hmm. Now, I would really like to do the long ski jump. But the problem is I wouldn't want to land unless it was like all foam or
can
something.
Can you just fly?
So I'm thinking, yeah, if
keep
I could just take off from
going.
The end of that into that ramp and then have a parachute or something, you know, that would
that'd be great.
Would
and women finally get to do that.
That is true.
Yeah,
like, what was that
happened.
About?
Eddie,
why
eagle
would that have taken?
The eagle. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do.
There was a historical perspective on the CBC.
Went
I'm
about
not saying
five
whether
feet.
It's right or not, but they had a little background story that said why women have not until 2014 done the ski jump, and it is, not surprisingly, based on the origins of the ski jump itself, which are from Scandinavia. And it primarily was essentially peacocking, where the men would fly through the air and impress the women, and then they would pair up. after the ski jump.
Oh,
I'm not saying it's right.
So why couldn't the women do that?
I'm sure jump I don't activities.
Know.
I'm sure I don't know. Whoever together. Jumped the furthest, you know, had their first pick or something like that. I'm not joking.
It was pretty much based in stupid gender norms, as we would have expected.
I will give you stupid gender norms if you add just a dash of the weather we've had this winter is what they have every year for 8 months. So I'm not giving any excuses. It's just that that's the only way they can peacock in Scandinavia. You know? So let's see who can jump the furthest on skis.
I think this could
take
another show.
I think it could.
It could. It could. I'm moving on. Professor Chuck Hokett is here.
Hi there. How are
We're
you?
Glad to have you after a short absence.
Now I'm back to normalcy, whatever that is.
Are you really? I didn't know there
really?
Was such a thing.
It takes, what, 7 weeks to get there? Get there? Yeah.
That's right. And spring break is truly a break for you and your crew. So
Yes.
Because winter will never end.
Aren't you guys going away again this year?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I went over the winter. I went to New Orleans.
Yeah, you went to New Orleans. That's right. You deserve some time off, Chuck. Professor Diane Manica is here from education as well.
I am here. Thank you so much.
Want to bring us all the way through the Olympics here and tell us what you've been watching lately?
Well, you know, I thought was very interesting with the, what is it, the half pipe, is that what that is?
Yes.
On the snowboard?
With the skiers.
When they did the whole thing with a young woman, Sarah, passed away after her fall, and now it's the first time the women have competed in
that's right.
That's right. It's really a very interesting story, and they all had Sarah on the bottom of their snowboards and everything.
Very cool.
And her parents were there, and they amazed me in the interview, if anybody saw it, because they were so upbeat and so positive about the fact that she was watching from above this happen in her name.
And they're so proud that she pretty much single-handedly got it into the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I keep thinking about this. I don't mean to make light at all about the statement that you just made, Diane, but I don't know specifically, except for maybe cycling, of any summer Olympic sport where you take your life and limb into hand like you do during the Winter Olympics.
Yeah,
pretty
I
much
think
every winter sport.
I mean, pretty
even
scary.
Curling is pretty scary there.
Yeah.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And you can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Dear professors, these questions just handed to me. A start. It's been about 3 or 4 months since I sent in a bevy of questions for the panelists. Below are 20 questions in all manner of obscure topics. I've noticed they seem to go over well with that group that you have there. I would consider 80% a passing score for these questions. We might consider that too. Thanks for the fine work, Michelle Horner. Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
Which I think she just threw in. She's actually from Iowa. No, she's just from Vegas.
Why'd I waste that?
Pin maps again.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
I'll bring them next week.
All we have to say, Michelle, is that you seem to be in a yellow state. So that's the best we can say for our map right now.
Sure.
We are currently in an orange state. Who was the first recording artist who released a greatest hits album? I can tell you it was in the 50s, and it was particularly unique, not just because it was the first.
Bing Crosby?
No, but you're sort of
Frank Sinatra.
Not Sinatra.
Dean Martin.
You're in the wheelhouse. He's often known, but not Bing Crosby, for his Christmas albums. And this would have been the 1950s.
Perry Como?
Not Perry Como. You're getting there.
Tony Bennett.
Initials J.M.
Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis. Very distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
For the record, it was on the Billboard Hot 100 for albums over 7 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
First time ever.
What are the residuals on that thing?
Can I tell you a little story about Johnny Mathis?
Sure.
When I was in college.
Oh, this isn't sorted, is it?
Here, when it was still U of D Mercy.
Sorry.
When we were at all of our parties, he was not known as Johnny Mathis.
Oh,
he
really?
Was known as Johnny Mattress.
He's an alum?
No.
Oh,
because of the effect of his voice
Chuck.
On the Pardon me? Because of the effect of his voice.
It
on
could
the
well be. Johnny Mattress.
Barry White.
Wow.
Thing going on there.
Barry I mean, White that's how in. Old that goes back.
Oh man.
So chances were pretty good.
It all depended on whether they peacocked us or not.
Oh my God.
Diane, did you run into him at all?
No.
Holy smokes. Yes. Okay, let's...
yes, moving right along.
Moving along.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
There are two landlocked countries on the continent of South America. What
no,
are they?
Two landlocked
countries.
Bolivia?
Bolivia is one of them.
Uruguay, Paraguay?
Paraguay is the other. Yes, one of the guys.
One of
the guys.
Very guys. Quai one, or quai
two landlocked countries.
Managuai, Epiguai.
Unbelievable. Very, very funny. What U2 song has been sung at every single one of their shows? It's always on their playlist. Mm. It's not the one I would have guessed.
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
It is not.
Is that what I'm looking for?
Nope. It is three words.
One, oh.
It says here the correct response is "I Will Follow." I don't know if you're familiar with the song.
But yeah, it's a very old song.
Oh, yeah, that is an old song.
There you go.
Should be Sunday Bloody Sunday.
What is the name of the terrorist group that invaded the Munich Olympics?
Oh, dear.
Great movie, by the way. One of my favorite movies.
The Bader-Meinhof gang.
No, that's not what it says here. It says a color and a month.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
October?
No, but you're in
another
the
movie.
You're in the wheelhouse.
Oh. Was it December? No,
nope.
Black, blue, green,
it's
orange.
It's black. Okay.
Black September.
Black September is what they called themselves. Okay.
I remember that. That was the first Olympics. I got all my first lessons about geopolitics from my parents watching the Olympics.
Really?
Oh wow! Wow.
So, because the summer 1972 games were the first ones that I remember, which of course is where that happened.
Horrific, yeah.
But yeah, the that people in the Soviet Union couldn't criticize their government and all the all of my sort of initial lessons in geopolitics came from watching the Olympics.
But it was such a shock because you just expected that to be sacrosanct, something
right.
that people wouldn't
something
mess
you
with.
Just right. Never would.
Right. What candy was first introduced by Henry C. Kessler in 1940?
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Henry.
It's not.
No. That's
but I'm guessing Snicker. That he wanted people to feel the sensation.
Wintergreen
peppermint. Oh, York peppermint.
Peppermint.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
They
Kessler.
Are yummy.
Oh, Henry.
I believe if my pop culture knowledge is sharp, Kessler was also the first treatment name for Kramer's last name on Seinfeld. For a couple seasons, he was going to be Kessler. In the Godzilla movies, who is referred to as the Thing?
Oh, Mothra.
Mothra. Of course it's Mothra.
Yeah.
New Godzilla movie this summer.
I know.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer.
Looks pretty good.
Poster looks
good. Will it have the Blue Oyster Cult song as the theme?
Oh, I don't know. This actually looked ultra serious in the trailer. Like, ultra serious.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what that means, but Matthew Broderick's not
faster than
While I do some research on Matthew Broderick, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
Good.
I'm telling you how the pros handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it.
That's
George.
Right. Bang. That's
how
it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
Whoa.
Isn't it? Or, well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Top chick.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist.
Revival college.
Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time, and the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
And we're back, folks. We got some wonderful questions from Michelle Horner of Viva Las Vegas, Nevada. And we continue with, what does the CE key stand for on a calculator?
Clear entry. Clear entry is what it means. Yes, that's different. I think,
I'm glad to know that. I can use that information.
It doesn't clear everything.
Just the entry that you put in.
The last thing.
Doesn't clear the memory.
It leaves what you've gotten to up that.
I got it.
What NHL team and in what year was the first to actually make their own ice?
USA?
For the rink.
What team?
What NHL team and what year did they make their own ice? They actually did not. Back in the day, they would cut the ice up and use that to make their rink. When did they actually make the ice themselves?
The original 16?
Montreal?
Was it Montreal?
Toronto.
It was Toronto. Boston? It was Toronto when they were the Arenas. The Toronto Arenas came before the Maple Leafs. What year was that, Professor Dave?
1922?
A little bit before that. It was 1917.
Wow.
1917. It's the first artificial ice.
So did they play on outdoor ice prior to that?
They would cut up ice and bring it inside. Or not at all.
How would you do that?
Okay, sure.
People used to That's how people used to store ice. They'd get big blocks and store them
in the river.
You
would need a really
big piece of block.
Bunch of them, infuse them together. I think spray it with water.
How do you get them?
Sew them together. Seams.
Use duct tape like
salt.
Everything else.
I don't know about that.
Just melt it all in a big frame and then refreeze it.
Okay.
If you could refreeze it, then you could just make your own ice.
Yes, you could.
I don't think refrigeration was that advanced in 1970.
It was not.
Okay. There you go.
Let's ask the Canadians.
A good in a beer, that's all.
Ask the Canadians this question. What's the official city bird of Madison, Wisconsin?
Snowy egret.
No, it is not. For the record, this bird has never seen life.
The dodo.
It's not the dodo.
The dodo.
That's been alive.
Apparently, the official city bird of Madison, Wisconsin is the plastic pink flamingo.
It should be some city in Florida. Or Louisiana, maybe.
Louisiana, yeah.
Why not?
Ponte Vedra.
Where I'm going to be next week. Florida.
Oh, rub it in.
Nice. Right, you go to Florida?
Yeah. Well, National Ethics Bowl there.
If one were to add up all the numbers on a roulette wheel, what would their sum be?
Be 1 through 32?
Can I guess?
Or is it 1 through 35?
Dan is a mathematician. Let's see what happens.
1 through 35, can I guess 0,
465?
No, it's quite a bit higher than that.
What's the highest number on the roulette?
I think
that's
35.
The question. I thought it was higher. I thought it was
35 or 31.
36. And it's 36 times plus 37 over 2, so 18 times 37.
Nice.
So
nice analysis.
740 minus 36, 704?
You're very, very close. It's sort of ironic that it adds up to 666.
Yikes.
How demonic.
I know. That's scary.
No, I believe you. I just want to know.
Dan's got to figure it out.
You're going to do it.
Just the numbers are like red and black? I mean, do you have to add them? Obviously not.
If you add up all the numbers, I think you just take the wheel, give it a spin. Right. 0 plus double 0 is still 0, and go from there. Demonic.
666.
Yep. Got to go play it now.
What's longer, a trip around a baseball diamond or a goal line to goal line run on a football field? And for the record, how much?
Baseball diamond.
Diamond is correct answer.
Yeah, it's 90. Okay, that's 60 feet longer.
I actually have it here in yards, and since I'm born into the metric
system. 20 yards.
20 yards,
yes, 20 yards is exactly correct. Yes, sorry about that. I do not know how to do things like that. Give me hectares, not acres. I'm joking.
Meters.
Where were the Harlem Globetrotters originally based? They didn't play in Harlem till the 60s. They started...
Philadelphia?
Yeah, I was going to say Philadelphia.
Not Milwaukee, Washington, not D.C. Philadelphia.
Boston?
Nope, the second
East Coast?
City, actually.
Chicago?
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago is where they got started, yes.
Why would they call themselves the Harlem Globetrotters?
That is a good question. That is a very good question. Okay. What is the most produced chemical in the United States and the world?
Sodium,
I know this
chloride.
One.
Salt?
It's not
fructose.
Salt. It is not salt. It's not fructose. It's not French toast either.
That's not a guess.
But that's a great guess.
It is indeed.
So if it's not salt, considered a chemical?
Yeah, I think
what's
so.
The definition
is it a compound
a
or a single?
It's a single compound. It's a very simple compound that's pretty much used to make everything.
Where's Kendra when we need her?
Sugar. No, not sugar. Not sugar.
Well, it's not salt, then.
If it's not salt, what else could it be, right?
Water.
It's sulfuric acid, actually, is the number one chemical. Yep.
Okay.
That's kind of scary.
You need protons, man.
H2SO4?
You need protons. H2SO4, yes.
That's right.
You need protons. Johnny was a chemist's son, but Johnny is no more. What Johnny thought was H2O was H2SO4. Yes, exactly.
Like wow. From fourth grade or something. Yeah.
You remember?
That's sick.
I know.
Within 24 hours of us opening the renovated chemistry building, that got written inside a bathroom stall. I'm like, just leave it there. It's funny.
Yeah, why not?
What was Orson Welles, the very, very famous actor's last role? Very well known for his last role.
What was it?
I think Professor Chow
Ernest
might
and
know
Julia
this one.
Gallo Wine? I mean,
nope. No, it's actually a movie role.
Oh,
well, he did the voiceover for Shogun, but I'm sure that's not what
he did. A voiceover for another movie too, a defining movie of my generation.
Not Star Wars.
The year was 1986.
1986.
Not Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nope.
No, hold on.
Back in the future.
I was at school then. Let's see. What did
1986?
No ideas. Voiceover.
Oh,
is that voiceover work?
Oh, voiceover. Okay, so it wasn't on camera.
A cartoon?
It was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
86. It wasn't like the Smurfs or anything like that, was it?
No, but I mean, you're close enough. It was the Transformers movie.
Oh.
He was the voice of the planet that ate other planets, which that's
could have fooled me.
That's what he did. I'm just reporting the news. Jeez.
And he looked it too.
Yeah. Who was Time? This is the way the question is phrased. Who was Time Magazine's first female Man of the Year?
Amelia Earhart,
Margaret Thatcher.
That would make sense. This person was someone who made, speaking of geopolitical waves, massive geopolitical
waves.
It's not
Hearst, is it?
Nope. Initials W.S.
W.S.
It's not Waylon Smithers, by the way.
Darn.
Excellent.
W.S.
Wendy something.
Wilhelmina. If my wife were here, she follows the Royals very closely. She would know the answer.
Oh, Wallace Simpson.
Yes, it was Wallace Simpson. How's that for geopolitical turmoil?
Wow.
Would you qualify that as geopolitical turmoil?
Yeah. Sure,
king abdicating his throne, that's a big deal, right?
Except when she was, like, isolated in the Bahamas during the war.
That's also true.
She was well upholstered.
A U.S. president had two dogs, and he named them Satan and Juno. Who was this U.S. president?
LBJ.
It wasn't, although that fits perfectly.
It sure does.
Next
fit.
Someone will say Teddy Roosevelt, and I'll also say no, it was not Teddy Roosevelt. But those are the two people.
It wasn't FDR because he had Fala.
Mm-hmm.
Eisenhower.
No, it was a very, very early president.
Oh.
Like, Jefferson?
So early, it wasn't George Washington.
Adams?
It was John Adams, yes. Okay. John Adams had two dogs. You should know the presidents, man. Especially Satan and Juno. This celebrity used the names Dr. John Carpenter and John Burroughs when he checked into hotels. Very well known for using those names. Who was it? Who wanted to keep
Do those names have any significance to a role he did or anything like
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not. They're just sort of random
Brad Pitt?
Names. Nope, not Brad Pitt. He's already been mentioned at this table. Very, very famous movie performer, but mostly music singer.
Johnny Mathis?
Not Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mattress.
not Johnny Mattress. Initials E.P.
Elvis Presley?
Yes, Elvis Presley used those names.
Hmm.
Dr. John Carpenter. It's not like a famous literary character or anything.
With those sideburns, he doesn't look like a
No, that's the director of the Fog, isn't it?
And the Rhinestones, yeah.
Kind of give them away.
On August 1st, 1952, Kemmons Wilson founded the Holiday Inn Hotel franchise in what city? In the United States.
Mm.
Down south? Georgia?
It was south.
Mississippi? Alabama?
South Carolina?
Arkansas?
Trying to think of a very good nickname. We used to have a restaurant in downtown Royal Oak with this city's name in the title.
Memphis.
The second word was smoke. Yeah, Memphis.
Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Yep. What's a good nickname for Memphis?
That's
not Music City. That's Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So.
Memphis.
Smoke. It's something to do with...
Barbecue is what it's known for.
Barbecue and blues.
Yeah.
What is considered the Palm Springs of Washington?
Of the Washington State?
I'm guessing.
Seattle.
That's what it says here. It's another city.
Besides
Big Harbor?
It starts with the letter Y.
It can't be Yakima.
It's Yakima.
Yakima is
the Palm Springs of Washington. Why does that not make sense, Beth?
I was thinking Snoqualmie, maybe.
I was thinking something warmer.
Well, yeah, that would make more
a
sense.
A snowy Palm Springs. Yeah, or like, a snowbound Palm Springs.
Well, I've never been to Palm Springs, so maybe, I mean...
It's in the desert.
Well, so, I mean, are there old people palm trees. There? Or what was...
the desert parts of the Pacific Northwest are east of the Cascade.
That's right.
Mountains,
that's right.
So, I mean, Yakima's...
Well, Yakima does have a lot of those scrub bushes. I remember those. Yeah. The kind that tend to drop and blow
I would
around.
Have thought it was like Port Angeles or Gig Harbor or someplace, you know.
On the coast.
Snappy.
The Palm Springs
so,
of Washington.
Yeah, it was not snappy. Okay, I guess we'll have to find out.
Not that I can recall, but I haven't been back in a while, so.
Research.
Okay. What U.S. state was the first to install an oil well? I can let you know this much and it narrows it
Pennsylvania.
Down. That Professor Tubbs is correct. I don't need to give you any hint whatsoever. Whoa, it was Pennsylvania. Whoa. How did you know that off the top?
I saw a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And John D. Rockefeller was pretty quick to hop on the bandwagon.
Of course.
And circle it.
Of course.
And buy it for a nickel.
Wait, seriously? That was Rockefeller who did that?
Well, Rockefeller developed Standard Oil.
That's okay. Another Jed Clampett.
Okay, we have a very interesting set of questions from our friend Kimberly Richards, continuing one from another show where we had original names of famous people, movies, and TV shows and things to see if you can actually figure out what very, very famous music performer's first name is, or rather, true name is Steven Tallarico.
Steve Tyler.
Yeah. Steve Tyler. Oh, that was nice. It almost sounds like it should have been in the other direction.
Yeah.
Hey, Tallarico.
Aerosmith.
It only makes sense, right? Who's Declan McManus? Pay attention to the ethnicity there.
Declan.
Speaking of the name Elvis.
Elvis Costello?
It's Elvis Costello, yes.
Who's married to?
Who?
Diana Krall.
Diana Krall, right.
Yeah,
that's
right. I didn't know that.
That's right. Excellent. How about Reginald Dwight? Who used to go by that name?
Elton John.
That's Elton John, absolutely. Try this one. This would be the original pilot name, or maybe pre-pilot name, of a TV show. Extremely popular American TV show. They wanted to call it Insomnia Cafe.
Friends,
absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very, very good connections being
thinking
made.
Thinking Night Court.
Right? Who was born Karen Johnson? Seems like a very boring name, doesn't it?
Bland. Karen Carpenter?
Nope. Someone whose name now, when she talks to... Barbara Walters every day, midday.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, does not sound like Karen Johnson.
No.
Wow. She does not look like a
Whoopi Goldberg. Where did Whoopi come from?
Oh, yes. Whoopi. Thank you so much to all of our question writers for today, but we're going to have to say goodbye, Professor Manica.
Goodbye.
Professor Hokett.
Go Tigers.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Hitchell.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Oljar.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Anna Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.